Today we continue on in Exodus chapter 17. Let's pray as we come to the Word. Father, your Word is holy, it is true. Your Word guides us and leads us. And Lord, we trust your Word. And Lord, we pray that you would be honored. We pray that our hearts and our minds would be open. Lord, as we look at your Word today, as we read it and apply it to our lives, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the things that you'll notice if you've read through the Old Testament is that there's a lot of war. There's a lot of violence that happens. And sometimes I've heard people say, you know, why so much of that in the Old Testament? You don't see it as much in the New Testament. Although I don't think you see any more violent act in the crucifixion in the New Testament. But I've also heard people say to me, it seems like God is different in the Old Testament versus the New Testament. And I'm here to tell you today, God is the same. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. But the way he interacts with his people in some ways has changed from the Old Testament to the New Testament because of what Jesus has done for us. In the Old Testament times, God's people were all located in one nation, the people of Israel. And when somebody attacked them, God would defend them. And he says, I will bless those who bless you, I will curse those who curse you. There's a loving Father who loves his people and protects his people. And, you know, as I was thinking about it, I was thinking about parents and their children. You can have the nicest, sweetest parents in the world or grandparents, but if someone messes with that kid, watch out. I remember hearing the story about my brother when he was young, and they were living in Dorchester. I don't know how old he was, maybe 10 years old or something. And he got in a fight with another kid. And as the kids do in school, they made a circle around my brother and this other kid. And I don't know if they even got into the fight at that point, but all of a sudden, here comes my grandmother, 4'11" in high heels. She came through that crowd, and she started hitting that other boy over the head with a pocketbook. And I will tell you, I have not met a sweeter, nicer person than her. She loved, and she called my brother Sunshine. She loved her Sunshine. So nobody was going to hurt him. And that was her attitude. And I'm not condoning violence or hitting people on the head with pocketbooks, so don't go home with that today. But we have a loving Father who fights for his people. But something has happened in the New Testament where God's people are not located just in one country, and the goal isn't just to take the promised land, because that was the goal. The goal was to get to the promised land, and the people would come to the promised land. It was a city on a hill. But here's the new mission in the New Testament. Go and make disciples of all nations. So God's people are sprinkled throughout almost every nation on this earth. We have Christians. And it's a spiritual battle that we now fight. In the Old Testament, God took the people of Israel out of slavery in Egypt and delivered them to the promised land. In New Testament times and now, God delivers us from slavery to sin. And he delivers us to the promised land. We are on our way to that place. And we are already part of that kingdom. And it says in Ephesians that our struggle is now not with flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the powers, the authorities of this dark world and the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So we now have a spiritual battle. We are going from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. And that's the battle that we fight. And the Lord is fighting for us. Jesus has fought for us. Jesus has conquered death. He has conquered Satan. And so I just want to give you that backdrop as we come to a passage where there's a battle here. And we're going to be reading from Exodus chapter 17, verses 8 through 16. Exodus 17, verse 8 says this: "The Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, 'Choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands.' So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on either side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Write this on a scroll as something to be remembered, and make sure that Joshua hears it, because I will completely erase the memory of the Amalekites from under heaven." Moses built an altar and called it, "The Lord is my banner." He said, "For hands were lifted up to the throne of the Lord. The Lord will be at war against the Amalekites from generation to generation." So we have this battle, and Amalekites came from a man named Amalek, who was descended from Esau. So you had Jacob and Esau. From Jacob came the people of Israel. From Esau came the Arab people, and this one particular group called the Amalekites attacked the people of Israel. And God fought for them there. And I want you to see something here in this passage. This is not about Moses' strength, and it's not about Joshua's strength as the military leader. It's about the Lord's strength. And the staff that Moses had, remember, that staff was used to do powerful things in Egypt and to go through the Red Sea, but it wasn't the staff. It was the Lord. It was the Lord doing it, but the staff was given to Moses by God, and it was a reminder of who God is. But you'll see something in this passage that Moses does. Moses reaches a point of weakness. He can't hold the staff up any longer. And as you know, if you've tried to hold anything up for more than like 38 seconds, the shoulders start to burn. And I can't imagine how long. It says he did it till sunset. I don't know if it was a whole day, but he couldn't do it himself. And I just think about that as what a great lesson for us. I can't do this myself. I can't do anything myself. You can't do anything yourself. And if you've been through any kind of recovery program, there's AA and there's Celebrate Recovery, which is a more Christian-focused program. But one of the main points is, I am powerless. And that is a great thing to realize in life. It's when we think that we can do something that we get into trouble. I am powerless and I need a higher power, and that higher power is Jesus. And when you put your faith in him, you can say things like Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." But you gotta come to that point of humbling yourself and saying, "I am powerless." Moses couldn't hold his hands up any longer. He needed help to do this. Moses couldn't win that battle. He's over 80 years old. He's not going to go out into the battlefield and win the battle. And not only can he not hold his hands up, he needs other people to help him hold his hands up. He needs two other people to hold his hands up. And he needs Joshua out on that field. And that's the other thing to realize here. This isn't done alone. The Christian life is not something we do alone. We need our brothers and sisters. I love Andy's testimony today. And I will tell you, I saw Bill after you saw him, and he said how encouraging you were to him. So, it was mutual encouragement, back and forth. We need our brothers and sisters. We can't do it alone, and it's not all about our strength and our energy. And there's one passage in Psalms that I always come back to that is a good reminder to me, because I can sometimes get too busy. It says in Psalm 127, "In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat. For he grants sleep to those he loves." The Lord. It's the Lord doing it. The Lord can do all things. And, you know, Moses says here, after this battle, he says, "The Lord is my banner." And you might be wondering, why does he say that? So we have our staff here again. So here's our staff. And Moses is holding it up there. We don't know exactly how he was holding it up. Maybe like this, maybe like this. But he's holding it up, and what he's referring to as being the banner, this would have been his banner. And it's an interesting thing, because when we think of a banner, we think of fabric, right? So we think of that as being a banner, or that as being a banner, the Star-Spangled Banner, the American flag. But a banner in the time, in Bible times, could have been a spear, and it would have been held up on a hill, and all the people fighting the battle would look back to that spear. Or it could have been a flag. But in this case, the banner is the staff. And I want you to think about that for a second. And let's think about the American flag for a minute. When you see that, I'm not going to ask you to say it out loud, but when you see that, what goes through your mind? Probably freedom. Probably maybe the red makes you think of the blood that was shed to bring the freedom. We have the 50 stars for the 50 states where we're one, we're 50 states, but we're one, we're united. And it's a, that's powerful. That's a powerful symbol for people who've been raised in this country. And I remember talking with a guy in town here who was in the military, and he fought, and he almost died in battle. And but he received the Purple Heart, the Bronze Star, but I remember him telling me, every time they play the national anthem and I look at that flag, I almost lose it every time. Because it means so much to him, and he almost gave his life. He was willing to, but he almost gave his life. And that flag is very meaningful for him. Now think about this. Think about the staff of Moses, the staff of God. This was the staff that God used to judge the people of Israel. It was the staff that Moses held up when the Red Sea was parted. It brought them out of slavery. This is the staff that struck the rock that made water come out and gave the people water. Do you think this staff is a meaningful symbol for the people of Israel? So for them, this was their banner. But then Moses makes the point, it's the Lord, right? The staff is just the symbol for the banner. It's the Lord who wins the victory. It's the Lord who does the battle. And I would imagine the people, maybe the men down on the battlefield as they were fighting, if they had a moment to get a breather and to look back, they would see Moses up there and they would see the staff and they would be reminded of what the Lord had done for them. And they would be encouraged by that. Because for them, this was a powerful symbol. The Lord was their banner, and they knew the Lord was fighting for them. So when Moses held it up, it was a reminder that the Lord was fighting for them, and the Lord won the battle. Now, the same is true for us. The Lord wins our battle. And we should look to the Lord. We don't have a banner like this anymore, but I'd like to read to you from 1 Corinthians 4. It says, "Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." And it's kind of a strange statement to make. Fix your eyes on what is unseen. It makes you think for a second. But it's a strange statement for a reason. It's so that we will think about the one who is unseen. We will think about Jesus. We will fix our eyes on Jesus. We will follow Jesus. We will love Jesus. We will bring glory and honor to Jesus in everything that we do. That's how we live the Christian life. And he wins battles in our life. I mentioned addiction a few minutes ago, AA. Some of you have won victories over that. Jesus has won it for you. He's won the victory because you look to him. And you've won that victory. You can win victory over temptation. You can win victory over bitterness and anger and unforgiveness in your heart if you look to the Lord. The Lord can do this. You can win victory over frustration and exhaustion. The Lord can do this. And how about witnessing? How about leading someone to faith? Have you ever thought, you know, that person, I don't think that person's ever going to come to faith in Christ. Or maybe you're reluctant to approach a person and say, you know, I feel kind of weird talking to this person. But if you look to the Lord, if you pray to the Lord, he can do all things. He can accomplish all things. When we were singing the song earlier today, "Indescribable," and he put the stars in the sky and he knows them by name. And I thought about that as we were singing it for a second. Think about this. If you look up at the sky on a clear night, and you look at all the stars, you cannot count them. Each one of those stars is a sun, like our sun. Some of them a lot bigger than our sun. And they're millions of light years away, which means it takes light millions of years to get to our eyes. God made all that. Can he handle your problem? Right? When you think about that, when you think about how immense and how big God is, he can handle your problem. He can handle your issue. He can change your life. And we read about people like Paul in the Bible. God changed his life. We read about Peter, who was afraid and fearful, and God gave him boldness. We know about people today. You know, I think about John Newton. I mentioned him a few weeks ago, who was a slave trader and who was an ungodly man. And God made him a pastor. God changed him. And he wrote Amazing Grace. God can do all things. We look to the Lord and he changes life, changes lives. One of my favorite people to read about is the founder of Teen Challenge, a guy by the name of Nicky Cruz. If any of you have ever seen the movie The Cross and the Switchblade and read the book, it was about him. He was a gang leader in New York City, and he was a drug dealer. And this pastor went in, David Wilkerson, to minister in New York City to these gang leaders, to these gangs. And he went in there, and would you think that would be an impossible task? It looks impossible from a human perspective. But this guy, Nicky Cruz, came to faith in Christ and started one of the most successful addiction recovery programs in the world. And just think about what God does in everyone's life, what God has done in your life. Some of you have great stories about what God has done and how you have overcome issues in your life because you look to the Lord. The Lord is your banner. He's the one who gives you encouragement. He gives you power. He gives you strength. We look to the Lord because that's where the victory is. We look to him. We don't focus on what is around us. That stuff is temporary. But have you ever had this happen? You have a crisis in your life or something comes up or you're really stressed, and you try to take care of it all yourself? I don't really have time to pray today. I got to get going. Right? You ever do that? Well, if you really don't have a lot of time today, you better pray so you can get through your day. It's just the opposite. You got to focus on the Lord. Where do you go when you don't know which way to turn and you don't know what to do? Most people turn to the web. I got to find the answer on the web. Somebody's asked this question before, so let me go on and see what the problem is. Don't ever do that when you're sick. You will diagnose yourself with some weird disease you don't have, okay? But that's what people do. Don't go there first. Go to the Lord first. The Lord is your banner. The Lord is the one you look to. The Lord is the one who gives you victory. Let's pray. Father, each person here has things on their heart and on their mind. And I know that you love each person here. Lord, I pray for all of us that before we get going in the wrong direction, we would focus on you. You have already won the victory for us through Jesus Christ. You've conquered death and sin. You've made us new. You continue to renew us. Lord, I pray for all of us, we would focus on you in every area of our life. And may you receive all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. I pray this in Jesus' name.